You can just keep your seat. This is truly a Bible study. If anybody wants my notes, you're welcome to have it. If you want to take your own notes, you can. Every once in a while, I like to teach a kind of a doctrinal type of message and just kind of touch on my belief, if you will. I'm not molded into any one thing, and I think y'all know that by being here for as long as you have. I just kind of follow what I feel like the Lord is showing me, and sometimes it conflicts with perhaps others. But you know, when you look around, it's all about the interpretation of the Word of the Lord is why we have so many different beliefs, right? We divide it different. But the Bible says that to study the Word, to shew yourself approved, a workman, rightly divided, workman unto God, rightly dividing the words of truth. So we understand that there is a right way to divide it, and it must be divided. When you divide something, what do? You break it down smaller and smaller and smaller till it becomes simple, right? Yeah, I don't know what, you know, I can give you some big number, divide it by 17, and I don't know what that number is, but you keep breaking it down, it's going to get to a very small number, and I can understand that. But sometimes, if you're not careful, you talk over everybody's heads and these exponents, and nobody understands you. So I want to try to break this down, and I want to title this, The Flow of the Spirit. The Flow of the Spirit. The Spirit is something that flows. When you look at everything about God, there's nothing stagnant about God, right? Nothing dead, nothing stagnant. He even told them, I'm bringing you to a land that flows with milk and honey. So even the promises of God are flowing. When you look at how things increase, God is all about an increase, right? I mean, it's about an increase. There's two ways to increase in living for God. And one, or even in this life, one is you grow something. When you grow something, it grows from within, right? You grow a plant, you're not adding anything to it. You're just growing it. And then there's to add on to what's already there, like a building and a slab and the structure. So it grew by adding, or it grows by inside of you. So we're challenged in here to grow in the Lord. And as you grow, you seek Him first, and He adds to you these other things. So you become really a true representation of the benefits that there is in living for God. Now, I want to use kind of a text scripture here for you in John 7:37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So he's talking about something that flows. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Notice, they that believe on him should receive in them. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. They spoke of the Holy Ghost only after Christ's resurrection, because ghost means what? Spirit of a departed one, right? So it was in the New Testament, you won't find the word ghost. You're going to only find it in the Old Testament, you won't find ghost. Only in the New Testament, because that's where Christ died, and he said, I send back my spirit. So the writers called it Holy Ghost in the New Testament. So in the flow of the Spirit, we know that when you look at the Spirit of God, it is something that flows. The Old Testament begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit of God did what? Moved. It moved. So it is a moving thing. It is a living thing. It moved upon the face of the waters. The Lord brought Ezekiel to his house, and he showed him how the Spirit of the Lord would flow from underneath the threshold. That's pretty low. You know, when a house floods, it comes under the threshold. That's how low it is. That's how well it flows. He said it went under the threshold and out into the streets, and it became waters to swim in. So he was showing him how the Spirit of the Lord is. In the prophecy of Joel, he prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord would be what? Upon all flesh? Poured out upon all flesh. So the Spirit of the Lord, no doubt, is a flowing thing. And in the New Testament, Jesus compares the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to water, saying, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow," out of your belly, your container. And it's not, it can mean your innermost beings and your emotions and all that, but I want you to stay with me tonight in a little bit different look at this. "He that believeth me," on scripture said, "out of his belly," your belly is your container. There's nothing you do. You may reduce your container, but you still got a container. You know, it's your container which gives life. It starts in the container. It starts in the head, if you will. That's where it goes first and then is distributed throughout your body. "So he that believeth on me," as scripture said, "out of his belly shall flow." This spake he of the Spirit, which they which believe on him should receive, take into them. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. So I want you to notice, he said, "He that takes one drink of me, any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly goes rivers." Out of his belly, it becomes the wellhead. It becomes the source for everything else. You take me, let you be my container, and out of you, these works shall you do, and greater, because I am glorified. So when you look at terminology, if you will, I'm sure some of you live around here, you've heard of Bearhead Creek and Clear Creek, and all these heads and all this. You ever heard of Wellhead? Right? Well, a wellhead is a place where many people can draw. It is the container. Is the wellhead of Pentecost is called up there in LeBlanc. Well, look how many churches have come out of that one body, that one belly. Out of that belly shall flow rivers of living water. So out of that one container, there's been all kinds. But somebody drank. Somebody drank. And out of that one drink, look at what's happened. It was the belly or the wellhead. So let's go. Can I go deeper? Because we're going to go deeper. So then we start talking about the terminology of Godhead. Godhead. So out of God comes all these other things. Out of God. So let's look at Colossians 2 and 8. Because God is the head of all things. Paul warns us to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I've had people try to philosophy Christ and God. And spoil you means to just to use you up. It's like they recovered the spoil. And it's just you become just the leftovers. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world or the knowledge of this world, and not after Christ. Not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You got to see this. Because in Christ, in the man, dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. But he was that belly, if you will, that all these things will come out of. Bodily, not spiritually, bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head. Whoo, that's good stuff right there. The head of all sources, of all powers, and of all principalities, it all comes out of him. All spiritual welfare and spiritual energy, it will come out of that head. So I want to demonstrate to you the flow of the Spirit from heaven above to earth beneath and then through us. And so a lot of times people get confused with different doctrines of Trinity and different doctrines of oneness. And some people only know what they believe because they were raised in it. I mean, they don't really understand what they believe. And I really believe we need to be accountable for what the Bible says. Let every man be apt to teach. Doesn't mean you have to be a teacher. Apt means capable, knowledgeable. So a good parallel, I think, and I've used this before perhaps in maybe a little bit different way, is the Trinity River that we've talked about that flows through the state of Texas. How many of you have ever been to Liberty, Texas? If you've been to Liberty, Texas, you cross the Trinity River. So I want you to understand that we first must realize that God is a spirit. period. God is a spirit, and this spirit flows like a river. It flows like a river. So this Trinity River that we talk about when you cross Liberty, Texas, is composed of other tributaries, three main ones, but there's other tributaries, smaller ones, that comes together to form what we have termed or has been termed the Trinity River. But all of these come to being one massive body of water. One massive body of water. So I want Sister Cheryl to help me just a little bit. John 4 and 24, if you would get that for me, if you want to turn in your Bibles or perhaps read on the screen. I want to show you that God is a spirit. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. God is a spirit. Now, only having 45 minutes to teach, I wish I had about 4 hours to teach on this, because invariably somebody that listened to this said, yeah, but you didn't say anything about this. Well, Lord, you can only say so much in 45 minutes. So I'm saying as much as I can in a short amount of time. But for John 4 and 24, what does he say? It's in the New Testament. No, just John. I'll tell you what, you go to 1 Corinthians. You go to 1 Corinthians and catch that one. 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. And let's read John off the screen here. God is a spirit. Everyone read this with me. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's got to be something in you that's in him. He said, flesh speaks to flesh, and spirit speaks to spirit. So to talk to a spirit, you've got to have the spirit. You've got to have your spirit communicating with his spirit, or you'll never worship him. But it must be in truth. Now, it doesn't matter how you divide the spirit, it's still the spirit. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Okay, there are diversities. There are different diversities. Diversities, it comes out of one, but it's just a derivative of the other one. There are diversities of gifts. And, go ahead, but.
And there are differences.
Wait. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Spirit. So no matter how you divide your gift, oh, I got the gift of tongues, good, same spirit. He goes on to tell us that. I got the gift of prophecy, good, same spirit. I got the gift of worship, good, same spirit. I got the gift of goodbye, good, same spirit. It doesn't matter what gift you've got. It's all from the same spirit. All right? Next verse.
And there are differences of administration.
All right, so we had gifts, and now we have different administrations, but what?
But the same Lord.
The same Lord. Notice he says this time, different. We have diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. We have different administrations, but the same Lord. Now, read the next one.
And there are diversities of operations.
Operations.
But it is the same God.
The same God,
which
right?
Worketh all in all.
It's the same God, which is a Spirit, that works all in all. Even Paul said Christ didn't divide it. You can't divide Christ. You can't divide the Spirit of God. It cannot be divided. It cannot be divided. It may do different things, but it cannot be divided. But, read verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Now that's it right there. See, we're talking about diversities of gifts, same Spirit, different administration, same Lord, diversities of operations, same God, but the manifestation of the Spirit. What was the manifestation of the Spirit? Christ. Christ was the manifestation of the Spirit. Is given to every man to profit withal. Without Christ, we won't have any, it doesn't matter. I don't care what kind of gift you got. This was not, all these gifts and all these administrations and all these operations did not occur until Christ came. And he said, I give you this, 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 and this, and this. They didn't happen until Christ came. So once Christ was made manifest, all this come to being. But it is through the manifestation of the capital Spirit, the manifestation of what's in heaven flowed down to earth. Manifestation means to be able to see it, right? Manifest. So no matter how you divide the Spirit, it's the same Spirit. So this Trinity River starts off with three different rivers and that collect to the same water. They end up at the same place. Now, watch this. Okay, the Trinity River has this little branch here, and it has a little branch here, and it has a little branch here. Okay? And this is called, it's called the Elm branch, E-L-M. This branch is called the Clear branch. And this branch over here is called the East branch. Okay? So these are the three branches, and then they come together right here. And then they become one. We're going to call this heaven. We're going to call this earth. Now, you will say, well, look, there's three separate, let me tell you what there is. There's three separate cracks in the earth. It's the same water. It's the same water. It came from the sky. It came from the ground. It's the same water. I don't care how you look at it. It goes into the ocean. It rains again. It comes again. It's the same water. But yet they're separated because they operate in three different capacities here. In heaven, we're going to see how it relates to earth, how it flows. So all of these flow to here, to what was called on earth the Trinity River. But these three things become how many things? They become one thing. Now, since they all get the water from the same place, if you drink from this place right here to down here, you have drank of all three rivers. You've bathed in all three rivers. But the truth is, whatever water is in here is really the same water that's in there. Because it all goes into the sky and it all rains and it all comes back. It's really the same thing. I don't care how you look at it, water is water and it just cycles. That's all it does. So no matter how you divide it, it's still the same water. But for illustrative purposes, you look at it as heaven and earth. And we're going someplace, so stay with me. Now, I want you to go to 1 John. You were there a while ago. 1 John 5 and 4. And we're going to go through 7. Now, there are some that say that this passage of Scripture should not be in the Bible for various reasons. And I want to tell you something. I did a little study myself. And if you ever want to get confused, go do that study yourself. Because by the time you get through doing that study yourself, you'll throw the whole book away. Because what happens is, they say, well, they left out this from the other translation. And they say, yeah, but they didn't use the old one. And this was the original manuscript. And that, I can't figure all that out. What I do know is this backs what I believe. That's what I do know. So while there's some that say this shouldn't be in here, I did go back and look that the guy that wrote James, had 54 scholars. I went back and read it. 54 scholars that sat down together to translate this. Not interpret it, translate it. So for me, I'm going to stick with this simply because I'm not smarter than one of those 54. Not smarter than one. They know more than I know. So I have to go with this simply because I'm not smart enough to know any better. But when I went back and I looked at all these, some said, well, you know, they weren't right because of this. But then I read another and said, that's not right because I know this. This matches what I believe. So I'll stay with this. So 1 John 5 and 4.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Okay. So, whosoever is born, born means to come out of, right? Something is born, it comes out of. So whatsoever is born of God comes out of God, it'll overcome the world. Right. In one place he said, how do we know they're followers are not? He said, if they hear you and follow you, they're of you. If they don't hear you and follow, they won't come because they're not of me. So whosoever is born comes out of God, they will overcome the world. Read.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Keep going.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Okay, so we got a lot right here. So who's going to be the overcomer, the one that is born of God? How did Jesus come? How did he come? As I've said before, Jesus was the firstborn of the born again. Mm-hmm. So he came by water and he came by blood, and the Spirit was the witness.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the water and the blood because the Spirit is truth. Then John 5 and 7.
For there are three that bear record in heaven.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. There's three that bear record in heaven. What are they?
The Father.
Okay, wait a minute. We got the Father. We got
the Word.
The Word. And we have.
And the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. They must have known that because it hadn't even been sent back, so the writer must have known the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have three that bear record in heaven. And how many? Go ahead and read the rest of it.
And these three are one.
These three are one. It's the same water, folks. I don't care how you divide it. It's the same water. It came from the same place. So no matter how many tributaries you put in there, he was God in creation. He was the God that talked out of the burning bush. He was all this. But it's still the same Spirit. You cannot divide a Spirit. It's impossible. You can't divide it. Like, okay, this Spirit, you sit over here. This Spirit, you sit over here. You can't divide a Spirit. It's indivisible. So we have these three, and these three are one. Read.
Okay. And there are three that bear witness in earth.
Okay, so the heavenly record, we had the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now in earth, we have what now?
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
And the water.
Wait a minute. All right. Spirit. We have water.
And the blood.
And we have the blood. And
these three agree in one.
They agree in one. Jesus. This is the manifestation of God on earth, is Jesus. That's the manifestation of God on earth. He was all of this in body. And the Spirit, the water, and the blood disagreed. It said they agreed in one.
And one.
He came, I just read to you, he came not by water only or by blood only, but by blood and water, and the Spirit bear him witness.
Yes.
All right, let's go a little deeper. Are you with me so far? Mm-hmm. A little bit about a witness. Anybody ever had to witness an accident or anything? Did you just testified, you told what you saw, right? Well, if everybody saw the same witness, three people saw the same wreck, they ought to agree in one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saw the same thing. They ought to agree in one. Now, I'm saying other people may say different, but they ought to agree in one because they all saw the same thing. Mm-hmm. These three agree in one. Mm-hmm. All right? Verse 9.
If we receive the witness of men,
okay,
the witness of God is greater.
Okay.
For this is the witness of God, which hath testified of his Son.
Okay, so the witness of men can be everything, and I'll read to you, John the Baptist said, this is the Son of God. Well, that was just John the Baptist. What does he know? He's got a camel suit on, and he's out there eating honey and locusts. What does he know? But if it came from God, if God's the witness, you see, Jesus came to his disciples as he come out of Caesarea Philippi, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? what is the witness of men? What do they say? Oh, you're Jeremiah, you're Isaiah, you're one of the other prophets. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father. You're my witness. Mm-hmm. See, because that was revealed to you by the Spirit. Okay? Now, when we go to Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, we're talking about the water, right? It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened its mouth. The heaven. When he went down in the water, the heaven began to testify. The heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost, right there, descended in a bodily, wasn't he in a body too? Shape, like a dove upon him, and the voice came from heaven and said, this is the witness, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Whoo! If you don't believe that report, you might as well go home. Because this was the voice from heaven saying, I validate this guy right here. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So he came by water and we got the witness of it. Hebrews 11 or 9 and 12 says this. Heaven made a witness, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He came by his own blood and gave his own blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So he didn't come just by water, nor did he come just by blood. I didn't have time to show you all these scriptures, but John was there when they poked the spear into Christ's side. And he said, I was there, and I bear record indeed that I saw both blood and water come forth. He came by blood and water. Now, I'm still talking about the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit of God started where? In heaven. Was made manifest in Christ upon earth. It was called and prophesied to be Emmanuel, or God with us. Notice the prophecy. God with us. And so Jesus of the four Gospels, when you read Jesus of the four Gospels, it is God in flesh walking among us. John chapter 1 and 14 bears that out. And the Word, right there. I already talked about the Holy Ghost descended and the Word, you know, and it all came to earth. It all came to earth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that's that Emmanuel. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That is the Spirit of truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Then down in verse 34, he says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This was the record that John had of men testifying that he was the Christ. But the testimony of God is greater than that of men. When God validates something, there's no question about it. Jesus was the equivalent on earth of this Trinity River. He was all the attributes that the Spirit could be in a bodily form. Did I not say he was the Godhead bodily? Godhead, the head, the body. He was everything that God was. And I've said many times that as Mary's boy, he got sick. He got weak. He got tired. He got sleepy. But as God's son, peace be still, and the winds and waves obey him. And they said, what manner of man is this, that the winds and the waves would obey him? Well, he was everything up here. In here. So we read Matthew 28 and 18. We see that, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me up here and down here. In that body of Christ was everything. Everything. He was every bit of God and every bit of man. If he wasn't every bit of man, then he couldn't have died for my sins. And if he wasn't every bit of God, he couldn't redeem me of my sins. So I ask you tonight, where is the fullness of God? In his body. Bodily. So that he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So John 4 and 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, see, God cometh unto me. Because no man can come, watch, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Only people that see the Father are the ones that are of God. Now, as I've already read to you, a spirit cannot be seen, right? The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. So what we find is the body of God is the mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. Now, there's nothing wrong with you praying to God, nothing wrong with you praying to Jesus. But I'm just telling you that it was Jesus that died for your sins. God had never died. But the flesh of Jesus did die. And he stands between me and you, knowing how you're tempted, knowing how you're tried, knowing how you get weak. And he pleads your case for you. He is the mediator. I've been in mediation before. I don't know if you ever have. In mediation, you have two sides, and they both want justice. The mediator goes here, and he goes here, and he goes here, and he goes here, and he works with this side, and he works with that side, till finally they say, okay, let's settle it. That's what Jesus does for us. He pleads his blood for our sins, because you're still a sinner, just saved by grace. And you're going to keep falling. But this man knew no sin. So he can go, I know how they feel. I was tempted too. They're the best mediators, they say, that ever was, is someone who's been on both sides. And that's Christ. Let me go a little further before it gets too late. John 14 and 8, speaking of seeing the Father, Philip said unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be happy. You keep talking about it. We hear you praying, but we don't see him. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen the Father, how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You catch that? He that sees me sees the Father. Believest thou not that I am, now watch, we're going someplace, that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now watch close. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. And this man is saying, God is in me. I am in him and he is in me. And when you've seen me, you're going to see all of God you're ever going to see, including when you get to heaven. God is a spirit and cannot be seen. He was made manifest. So that's why he told Philip, you see me, you saw God. What part of this do you not understand? So how is it they were in each other? Right here. Everything that was in here was in here. Everything that's in here is in here. It all come from the same place. It's still rainwater. Care how you look at it. It's still the same thing in heaven or in earth. It was the Spirit of God inside the flesh and blood of Christ. And the Spirit bear witness. And we saw his mighty acts. We saw the power that he had, opening blinded eyes, opening deaf ears. Nobody can do this but God. You're right. You're so right. Well, he made himself equal with God. The Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God in the body. Now, the God that was in the Gospels was Emmanuel with us. That's why they couldn't see him. He said, the day will come that I will be in you. So that Spirit's got to flow, not around me, but in me. That's why he said, you take a drink of this water, it goes where? In you. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. And when you drink that water, you become the belly, the wellhead that rivers come out of. John 4:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now the comforter, you understand, as long as Christ was with them, he could tell them, peace be still. And he could calm their storm. He could be not afraid. But Lord, he said, I'm not going to be here in body anymore, but I'm going to send back the Spirit. And he called it the comforter. Another place, the comforter said, which is the Holy Ghost. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'm talking about the flow of the Spirit. It was Emmanuel, God with them. But now that he's with us, he wants to be in us. And if he's not in you, you'll never see. You'll never see. You've got to have him in you, the hope of glory. Does it not say Christ in you, the hope of glory? Not Christ around you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. See, the Word was made flesh. He that's seen me has seen the Father. It's the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and it's all one Spirit. I will come unto you. This doesn't take a rocket science to understand this, does it? I. That's Jesus saying, I will come unto you. What he's talking about is the Spirit will come unto you, the Holy Ghost. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. See, they only see the flesh. But when I leave, you're still going to see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and my Father in me, and I in you. I'm talking about the flow of the Spirit. So the flow of the Spirit goes from God above. The Word was made flesh. It was still the Spirit of God in flesh. Dwelt among us, then it dwelt in us. So in Ephesians 4 and 3, and I'll close with this. And then I want to open up in case anybody has any questions. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think everybody knows where there's unity, there is peace. But you try dividing this thing up, and there's not going to be any peace. You can't divide. You know, even, again, Paul said, they were saying, well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Paulus. I'm of Pastor Baggett. I'm of Pastor Jones. I'm of Jimmy Jones. You know, I'm of this. And I'm of, he said, stop it. Stop it. Is Christ divided? Did Paul die for your sins? No. So you've got to keep the unity. See, these have got to be one. You've got to keep the unity of the Spirit, because you try to divide the Spirit, you cause confusion. Endeavoring to keep the unity of Spirit in the bond of peace. Now watch, there is one body. Yeah. And there's one Spirit. Yeah. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. It doesn't say there's a God and a Father. It says one God and Father of all. Don't separate that. He was God and he was the Father. He was the Spirit of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. That is the flow of the Spirit. One Lord, one faith. What is faith? A belief. One. There's not but one real, true doctrine. I don't care how many divisions we got, there's really one doctrine. And so when we finally get that in our noggins, that you understand the unity of the Spirit, and it is the bond of peace, then I will tell you, I'll go one more step and read you this. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I'd have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There is a flow of order of how the Spirit, and you can read later, and your children are to be in gravity or subject to you. So as long as you keep this unity, if the man doesn't take his place, the flow won't go right. If the woman don't take her place, the flow doesn't go right. And Christ took his place. Now he said, Father, if it be possible, let this pass. But he took his place. He said, but for this cause came I into the world. But what would it have done if he'd said, no, I'm not doing that? You see, you've got to have the right flow of things. And so I'm sorry that it seems like men struggle living for God. I mean, we have more women here in the church than we do men. I think that's every church. I don't understand that. But it is the way it is. And I thank you women that have come to church and live for God and raise your children in the church, in spite of someone maybe staying at home. So I want to stop just a few minutes early and see if anybody has any questions or comments or anything they want to say. We're not voting or anything. Y'all can. Sister Johnson? Okay. 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 Right. Yeah, well, they want to, wait, they want to hear you, and I want to hear you better. So let's hear that.
They tried to explain this to me in every way they knew how, but it never seemed that simple. And I really wanted to believe it and understand it. But I just could not get it in my mind. And one Sunday morning in Sunday school, I don't know what the preacher was teaching or preaching, but a light went on in my head, and that came to me just as clear as day. Now, on the other hand, Melissa was raised in church, and she says, I don't understand how people can't see that.
Right.
Or how they know that's all they know. But to me, that's one of the greatest revelations that I've ever had.
Right. Right. And it is. It opens up all kinds of avenues that you don't understand are there. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah.
I hear that 1 John 5 and 7 shouldn't be in the Bible, but that's the heavenly record up there, and it's manifested on the earth.
Yeah, yeah. That's like I said, I've been through that exercise already. It bears what we believe, so something like they say, if it's not broke, leave it alone. Anybody else? All right. I hope you got something out of it. Every once in a while, I like to take a thing like that and just tell you my belief on it. And hopefully you agree. If you don't, like I said, not agreeing is not a sin. Rebellion is a sin. That's the sin. So anyway, let's stick together. Wherever you got unity, you got what? You got peace. If you don't have unity, you don't have peace. So I thank God for all of our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, and Brother Valentine and Brother Terry and all the people that are capable of teaching and preach. And because if we don't have peace, you don't have anything. I don't care how much money a person has. I don't care what kind of house you live in or car you drive. If you don't have peace, you don't have anything. But if you have peace, then you don't have to have all these other things, right? Because you're at peace. Hallelujah. Would you stand? I'll pray and I'll let you go home. I ask you to pray for Sister Woodard as we close. She's not feeling very well tonight, so please pray for her as we close. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful for the knowledge of the word. We do ask you, Lord, that you would be with us tonight. Help the Spirit of the Lord to flow through us. As you said, it'd be rivers of living water coming out of us, God, into the rest of the world. Help us to be the source of water to somebody else that we could water. And hallelujah, and raise in the kingdom of God. Be with us as we leave this place, and we give you the praise for all that you're doing in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. See you later.